We're speaking now with Amy Flint, candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees, and in fact, an incumbent. And I believe you're the currently serving president. Is that correct, Amy?
Chairperson, yes.
Chairperson, yes. Well, thanks for talking with us today. I want to start with an introduction. Tell us a bit about yourself and how and when did you wind up here in Bonner County?
Well, I've lived here. This is my 30th year right now as a Bonner County resident. And a little more than 30 years ago, when I first visited the area, I just absolutely fell in love with it. Prior to that, I had moved around. I'd lived briefly in California, in Colorado, in Washington State, and Sandpoint just felt like home to me. There was no question in my mind, and I have felt that way about it ever since. I've served on the library, the Board of Trustees. Well, I might as well give you a little bit more information about it. I have four daughters and seven grandchildren, most of whom are boys. It's a little overwhelming after raising four girls to be shifting the focus a little bit because it's very different with boys, but I've been enjoying it other than, you know, not being able to see them for a while because of COVID and travel restrictions and safety concerns. I've been pretty active in the community. When I first arrived in Bonner County, I was a family services coordinator for Sandpoint Head Start. And I moved on from there to being an English professor, which was my actual degree was in English, and for North Idaho College in Sandpoint. And about a year and a half ago, I retired from NIC. I've also been a member of the Angels Over Sandpoint for many, many years. And I have served on the board and as president of the Angels. I've served on a variety of other boards. Habitat for Humanity and the Food Bank both come to mind. And I love this community so much, and I want to do anything I can to give back and to keep it the wonderful place it is. I'm, of course, an outdoor enthusiast. I do a lot of walking in the area, kayaking, bike riding, camping. My husband and I like to kayak camp, and just you can only bring what will fit in your boats. And there's a lot of freedom in that, and it's just wonderful. Not sure if I have a whole heck of a lot else.
Okay, that's pretty good. And how long have you been on the library board now?
6 years, and I've been serving as chair for 2 years.
Okay. Well, why are you throwing your hat in the ring for another term?
Well, it does seem a little crazy, doesn't it? The truth is, when I ran 6 years ago, I was a little bit ambivalent. I was still working full time. A staff person at the library had actually approached me about running for the board. And I was a little concerned because I realized not only was it a 6-year commitment, but there was also additional committee participation that was going to be required. And although I have a lifelong love of libraries and worked at the acquisitions department of my college library when I was in school, I was just a little hesitant that I might be getting in over my head a little bit. Well, very quickly, it takes about 2 years to really get up to speed. The binder is about 5 inches thick for the trustee manual. And so it did take, I would say, you know, about 2 years before I really felt like I hit my stride and I understood the workings of the library sufficiently. And at that point, I started absolutely loving it. And I was so glad that I had been elected. And I was honestly shocked when I found out that I was going to be up for re-election this year, because the 6 years just seemed to fly by. I love the board members. We have an excellent staff, and we are just so productive, and it's so easy to work with everyone. It's just been a wonderful experience, and I feel like I'm making a difference, and that's what it's all about, contributing to my community in a positive way, and I want to keep doing it.
Okay, so I'm asking everybody basically the same questions, and I think I know the answer to this one, but have you ever attended a library board meeting?
I have attended more meetings than I would care to count, to tell you the truth.
I probably could count. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I can't tell you, but yes, many, many, many.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much of a user are you personally of the library services?
I primarily use the library for digital books, print books, DVDs, and sometimes the databases for research. I actually utilized the library quite a bit more before I retired because I would take my English 102 students to the library for a field trip and to get an understanding of what was available digitally and the databases and how to use them and how to seek out high quality scholarly information, because there's so much stuff out there on the internet, and it's important for students who are researching and trying to present an argumentative and persuasive essay. They need to understand, how do you find high quality, legitimate information? So I spent a lot of time at the library with my students. Every semester we did that. With the virus and everything, you know, I've slowed down, and to tell you the truth, I've moved into town where I can actually stream video content. So I'm doing that quite a bit more than the DVDs these days. Even my role as trustee aside, I typically visit the library at least once a week.
So you've touched on some of the diverse services that the library offers now, but I think we all know that libraries are still a lot about books. So are you a reader or a book lover yourself? And are there any books you've read you'd like to mention?
I am an avid reader. I remember going to my local library when I was about 8 years old. Every week I would check out the 10 books that was the maximum allowed, bring them home, devour them all, and take them back the following week and get 10 more. So, and you know, having a master's degree in English, obviously I'm well read and I've had to read a lot. I'm in two book clubs, so obviously that keeps me reading. And what I love about that is the diversity. You know, I would gravitate to certain things that seemed interesting to me. Novels are pretty standard, although I do read nonfiction and other things too. But it's really nice to be in a book club, in two book clubs, because you get other people are selecting books that I wouldn't necessarily have found on my own or selected on my own. I don't really have a current recommendation right now, although the book I'm reading right now, which is a memoir called Sometimes Brilliant by Larry Brilliant, is about the eradication of smallpox in India. And it's an amazing story, and it's very, very easy to read, even though it's memoir and pretty factual. And that's probably not something I ever would have found or picked up on my own. So I'm enjoying that book a lot.
Yeah, that sounds very relevant to what we're currently experiencing too.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about what you might consider to be issues for the library that you think voters should be weighing as they decide who they're going to vote for. What would you identify as two or three library issues that are relevant in this election?
Well, to my way of thinking, the only real issue, quote unquote, has been our mask requirement. Everything else is not... It's not, in my mind, an issue is like a problem that needs to be addressed. And yes, the library has a few things. For example, we are in dire need of a new bookmobile. We've had that bookmobile for over 20 years now. It's on its last legs. Repairs are very costly if they can be performed at all. And so we are moving forward. It's not really an issue, but it's a problem that we're addressing. And I'm on the facilities committee that's looking into that and researching our options.
What about the mask mandate? Tell us what your position is on that.
Okay. Well, my position and my attitude about the mask requirement is shifting. And actually, by the time this interview airs, the board will have met and made some changes. I can't speak to what those changes are today, But in terms of my way of thinking, at the time we put the mandate in place, it made solid sense in this is the absolute best and safest choice we can make for our community, both our staff, our patrons, and the community at large. And at that point, because we were with COVID, we were essentially flying, building a plane that was already in flight. There wasn't any way at that point to say we're going to have this in place for X number of time, and we really didn't know enough then to even be able to establish criteria that we could consider for eliminating the requirement. I think now we're at the point where we have a lot of options and a lot of other things we can consider. And as I said, the board will be meeting and we will be moving forward. I can't unilaterally speak for what the decision will be, but I'm personally, and I believe most of the board feels this way too, we're ready to move forward and get ourselves out of this situation. It's just, it's not, I don't think it's any, we're moving very quickly in a direction where it will no longer be necessary.
The mask requirement is likely to ease in your view.
Some way or another, yes. And eventually, of course, the goal will be to eliminate it entirely.
Yeah, hopefully we can do that for the whole community. Right now, the Panhandle Health District, of course, has removed the mask mandate that they had for the five northern counties, but they still recommend using the mask in certain situations where people are gathering together. So that's a recommendation and not part of their requirement. You mentioned the need for a new bookmobile. Does that mean that the library might do another capital campaign for that?
No, we won't need that. We have enough in our capital fund to be able to cover the cost of a new bookmobile. So we're good. We've had excellent fiscal management with Ann Nichols, our director, and so the funds are already in place and ready. Mm-hmm.
And I think you were on the board when the capital campaign was underway for the library expansion. Is that correct? But that must have been a big effort.
Yeah, well, yes, but the truth is, again, because of strong fiscal management, we did not, of course, we did solicit some donations from community members, but we did not ask Bonner County citizens to foot the bill on that expansion. Those were funds that we were able to access from other sources and resources. And so, and that was part of our commitment at the time. We want to be able to do this without any burden to taxpayers.
And of course, that enabled you to build some significant expansion to the library. How has that been received? You have new meeting rooms. You have some new areas for kids. And
yeah, and so it's been very well received. And you know, we were so sad when we had to have discontinue using the meeting rooms. They are available again now, but for a while there, we weren't allowing groups to meet in the meeting rooms. And of course, we haven't had the story hour or any of the children or youth programs. And believe me, everybody is ready to get back up and running full speed, but we just have to tread cautiously because we don't want there to be health issues as a result of it.
Okay, we have just a couple minutes left. Are there any other issues that you'd like to see voters be considering as they decide who they're going to vote for?
Well, I do want to mention one more element of our mask requirement, and that is that we never perceive this, and we still don't perceive this as a First Amendment issue, which is what the people who have been protesting the requirement have argued. In our way of thinking, first of all, the library is, and the library itself and the trustees are an apolitical group. We have a wide variety of different people on our board with different political beliefs, and that has nothing to do with our ability to function. So when this all came up and the masks became so politicalized, we were very sad about that because we just did not perceive it as that, and we had such an outpouring of support from the community that we were confident that we were making a good decision.
Okay. Well, we're have hit about the end of our time here. Got about a minute to make a little closing statement. Why should people vote for Amy Flint?
Well, first of all, experience counts for a lot in a role like this. That's why the trustee positions last for 6 years, because otherwise there's too much upheaval and too much starting over and regrouping each time. I believe that I'm doing an amazing job, not only because of my experience, but because of who I am. I'm open-minded. I listen to all viewpoints. I'm a great researcher. So I feel like I'm a real asset to the board, and I'd like to continue to offer my service.
Hey, well, Amy Flint, a candidate and incumbent for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you so much, Chris. I look forward to hearing it next week.